and Happy New Year. Praise God. God is good. And all the time. Praise God. Saints, you have a sermon outline in your bulletins to follow along with me today. And if you looked at those outlines, what is the title of this morning's message? To do. Praise God. That's kind of a long title, but I was trying to get the meaning out there ahead of time. Let us take a moment to pray. Gracious God, you are so good, so awesome and amazing. And we thank you, gracious Father, that you chose us to be your children. We thank you, Lord, that you decided to look down upon us and love us and make sacrifices for us, and that every day we're allowed to experience you. Every day we're allowed to hear a word from you. Every day we're able to lift our eyes up to the hills from whence comes our help. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day of praise and worship. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to bless us through this message, that you will further take us deeper into your word and who you are as our God. And we give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Saints, you know, I love the end of the year, because at the end of every year, they always on television and then in newspapers take the time to reflect upon where we have been as a people. I like looking at those lists about all the great things that happened during this year and all the horrible things that happened this year, but it's just a way for us to look back and reflect. And I was reading this letter, and it was written by a priest named Father Bob Johane, and he actually wrote this letter in 1999, looking at the time frame of the 80s. So he wanted to know, was the world better in 1999? But I think that his questions were very appropriate for us today, because in that letter he asked a question, and he wanted to know, is the world better off today than it was 10 years ago? You see, saints, this priest looked out onto the world and he saw all of the wars that are still raging, just like they are today. He saw that there were people starving, and he saw the continuing problems of homelessness, the unending forms of discrimination, and he wanted to ask people in general, do you feel that the world is better today than it was 10 years ago? So I ask this question of myself, and I ask it also to you today, saints of Glenville New Life Community Church. Do you think, with our world facing a great recession, with our economy still in dire straits, with people still out of work, do you feel right now today that the world is better off today than it was 10 years ago? No. How do we see the world today? There are many of us that lived in a time when we can remember a cartoon called The Jetsons. Anybody remember The Jetsons? Remember when The Jetsons was out and all of us thought ahead to what the 2000s were going to be like. And we thought that in the year 2000 and thereafter, we were going to have robots that would do our dishes. We would have a maid named Rosie who would clean up our whole house. We would be flying around in our own individualized airplanes, saints. We would have houses that set up in the sky. And there would be peace all around the world. There would be no more homelessness. There would be no more despair. There would be drugs that had cured many, many diseases. Amen? Amen. Well, those of us that saw The Jetsons, we are now in the 2000s, 2011. And instead of having a Rosie the robot, we are still doing our own dishes. Ooh, yeah. Instead of having houses in the sky, we still have our same regular houses on the ground. And instead of world peace and lack of homelessness, there are still stories in our world of people struggling in despair. We continue to get up every morning to see our leaders in government and our religious leaders struggling with scandals. And it seems that more and more, just like I heard some of you say this morning, that the world is getting worse and not better. I hear that comment a lot, amen. Do you all hear that too? That the world is getting worse and not better. And it seems that even though the world is seemingly to be getting worse and not better, it did get a little bit better, saints. You know, when we had that Haitian earthquake this past year, that was a tragedy. But so many people turned out to help. So many people gave. And I thought about back in the day, back in the 80s, when Haiti or some other place had an earthquake, did we turn out with our giving in the same way? You see, saints, even though it seems that the world is getting worse, there are people who always want it to be better. There are people who always are looking at them and themselves and saying, you know what? What was my year like? How can I get better? And we as a people, we start out every year with our New Year's resolutions. And we want to become better people, don't we? Anybody want to become worse this year? We want to become better people. So we start out January and we are gung-ho. We are ready to make new opportunities for ourselves and our families. We are ready with bright ideas, new visions, a better attitude, saints. And then it seems 2 weeks later, or if we even get that far, some of us have forgotten all of our hopes and all of our dreams. And then it seems that people make the same mistakes over and over and over again, year after year after year. So when I looked at Father Bob's question to all of us, is the world better today than it was 10 years ago? It's actually a really good question to begin off the second day of the year, 2011. And I ask you right now, when you woke up this morning, or when you woke up yesterday morning, the first day of the new year, did you wake up with a sense of hope? Did you wake up thinking, wow, this is 2011, and God has allowed me to see this new year, and I have so many more opportunities. Yes. Wow, y'all looking real dry. It's Pastor T, the only one that woke up with some hope. Okay, see? Many of us did wake up with a sense of despair. Many of us woke up to looking out at this new year, and we woke up thinking, oh, 2011. Just another year, just another day. Same old problems, same old situation, same old aches and pains, same old bad news. Saints, did any of you ever feel that today or any day in our lives that did you ever have the feeling that nothing that you do really matters? Anyone ever felt that way, that you work so hard and you do so much, and it seems like it doesn't really matter because we still have the same problems? Have you ever felt that we as Christians, we work really hard in this world to see the same thing year after year? And maybe you've asked yourself, what are we as Christians supposed to do? Maybe we're supposed to pack up and give up and stop trying. But saints, tell your neighbor, there is hope. There is hope. This message today is certainly not new news, but I thank God that it is the good news. It is the good news. That in the midst of our dark and trying situations in this world, in the midst of many, many problems, Jesus tells us that there is hope. And why is there hope? Well, there's always hope because there are people, children of the light. Thank you, Lord. We are those children of the light. Read this with me from the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Wow. In the midst of the good days, in the midst of the bad days, in the midst of the happy days and the dark and lonely days, In the midst of the most trying circumstances, Jesus calls us all to be the light of the world. To be the light of the world. You know, saints, when I look back over those long lists about our history and the world history and what got better and what got worse, I also looked at our Christians and what our faith has seen us through, saints. What our faith has gotten us through some dark times. You see, saints, this year is not the worst year we've ever seen. 2010 is not the worst. Because there are years when people could say the Dark Ages. There are years when we can say that there was a bubonic plague. There's a year where we can say the words Inquisition and slavery and Great Depression and genocide, saints. So you see what our faith has brought us through right now, saints. That it could be a lot worse for us as human beings, and it has been worse. But the Christian church has been the faith, the beacon of light in the world of darkness. You see, saints, what we need to know during this time of darkness in our world, during times of despair, that it is definitely not the time to give up. It is definitely not the time to say, it's time to walk away and pack up our bags, saints. You may say, well, Pastor Kelly, what are we supposed to do in the midst of our trying times and circumstances, saints? Well, let me tell you, saints, and tell your neighbor, it's time to shine. It's time to shine. It's time to shine. You know, our New Testament scripture reading is taken from the book of 1 John. And I love reading anything about the disciple John. And the disciple John, who wrote this book, the 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, he also wrote the book of John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. And when John is sitting down to write this book of 1 John, it is during the latter part of his years. He is considered a grandfather at this time. And it's like he is a grandfather giving his grandchildren grandfatherly advice, saints. Because you see, he knew way back then that we were going to live during some trying circumstances. He knew that we were going to live during some tough and dark years. And John was trying to prepare us for this time in our lives. John was saying, get ready. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. So let me tell you how to deal with it. He gives us two forms of advice in this chapter that we read. He gives us a lot of advice in all of his books, but specifically looking at what our scripture reading was today from the book of 1 John, John is telling us two things. The first thing that John stresses is the importance of fellowship. Fellowship. What is fellowship? How did we even start talking about fellowship? We were just talking about dark and trying days. Why would fellowship have anything to do with this conversation, saints? Well, see, saints, it's our relationships. It's our relationships that sometimes get us through some dark days. How many of you could have gotten through some of your darkest, hardest days without someone alongside of you to help pick you up? To help encourage you, to help tell you life is going to get a little easier. This won't always be like it is today. So he says fellowship is so important. But he's going deeper. He wants us to understand fellowship is not just a relationship, saints. It's not just getting together after coffee hour and having a couple good, nice words with each other. Fellowship is way deeper, saints. You see, fellowship or relationships produce something in our lives. Something should be shown, something positive should be shown, some fruits of our relationships, saints. So you see, when we're beginning our year of 2011 and we're evaluating our relationships and our friendships and our marriages and our relationships with our children, saints, we can ask ourselves the question, is my relationship producing some good fruit? Or is it the same as it was last year? You see, saints, our relationships, as we're striving for excellence, as we're striving for excellence, we cannot keep being who we were last year. We cannot keep saying it's your fault that things ain't getting together. It is your fault that something is not right. We need to look in the mirror and say, what can I do to make this relationship the best relationship possible? You see, saints, our relationships, that first that John is stressing to us, our relationships with each other is revealing what our relationship with God is like. Jesus says, if you cannot love your brother or your sister whom you have seen, how can you love me? Jesus is saying, this is a relationship with the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Get that. He started with the relationship of the Trinity, saying this is about all of us working together. He also went further to say our fellowship means our obedience. Again, what does obedience have to do with the problems in this world? But when we are obedient, saints, we can stand as lights in the world of darkness. You see, I never realized how much the world is looking at us. When the world hits points of despair, what do? They run right to the church, saints. They look right at us. I get so many people that call me and say, Pastor Kelly, will you pray for me? And I'm thinking, why do you want me to pray for you? You can pray for yourself. But if I wasn't standing in the world as an example of light, they could never call upon me to say, pray. In the same manner, saints, somebody, I know somebody has said to you, I know you go to church. I know that you know God. I know you go to that Bible study. I know that you pray. And they look at you when they're having a hard time in their life and they say to you, will you pray for me? Will you take me to your church? Will you teach me about this Bible? But the only way they could do that, saints, is because you are standing as a light in the midst of a trying world. So the first thing that the book of John is stressing to us is fellowship, the obedience, saying not just being lip service, but really walking the walk and talking the talk and showing in our everyday lives that we serve a living God. So Jesus first teaches us fellowship in the midst of a trying world. And then he goes on to say, now you need to learn that in order for you to survive as a church, in order for you to survive in the midst of circumstances, you need to understand where you are. Now, that might be an odd question to say where you are. We're sitting on 711 East 105th Street, right? Glenville New Life Community Church, Cleveland, Ohio. But Jesus is saying, no, understand what you are. You are in enemy territory. Right. Now, I'm not saying East 105th Street in Cleveland, Ohio is the enemy. Don't get my words mixed up. But everywhere in this world, we are living in enemy territory. Read this with me from the book of 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, love for the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of their eyes, and their boasting about what they have and do, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world. All of those things created by human systems, all of those things that are created that stand against God, saints, God is saying to us, understand that you are not of this world, that you are living in enemy territory. You know, saints, you ever wonder why the world is so hard? Why things seem to get crazier and crazier year after year? Why we just can't seem to unite and get along? It seems real simple, amen. Why is it that we still have wars, and why do we still have famine, and why do we still have greed, and why do we still have humans being enslaved by sex trafficking, saints? Why are all these things happening in our world that are so horrible? Well, tell your neighbor, you're living in enemy territory. This is not our home. This is not our home. And not only is this not our home, saints, this is not our home. The disciple John wants to understand us to understand that not only is this not our home, but there are spies in the land. Me and Sylvia, I got to give praise God to Sylvia because Sylvia helped me write this sermon. We were conversating so long. Terrence, you all wouldn't believe, saints, I was talking to Sylvia on the phone just about this topic, the spies in the land, the phone cut off. I said, wow, that's weird. So I dialed her back. I said, hey, Sylvia, so the spies in the land, click. I said, wow. I said, let me call her back again. Hey, Sylvia, click. So I said a prayer. Said, get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You don't want me to have this conversation today. You don't want me to tell this message. So I called Sylvia back. Sylvia said, I was praying too. But saints, there are spies in the land. There are people that are against the church. And what's really hard, saints, is that some of those people are right here, right now, today. Sometimes, even us, as the strong believing Christians that we believe we are, sometimes we can act like the ones that are against the church. You know, the book of John tells us, and read this verse with me from 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. You know, saints, we all think about the Antichrist coming. But this scripture scared me because it said many Antichrists have already come. Many Antichrists, meaning that some are still here amongst us, saints. And what we need to do to learn to survive sometimes, saints, is to learn that even us as Christians, who love the Lord, can sometimes have behavior that is more anti-Christ-like than we are Christ-like. Even us that are God-fearing and God-loving, we can behave as if we don't know any God at all. I was at Walmart doing some Christmas shopping, and this cashier was so rude. She was so mean. I was looking at her like, I cannot believe she is that mean. And you know what her conversation was? Because she decided, I'm going to go real slow. I'm going to act like I don't even see you there. Can we get a price check? She was driving me crazy. Then she decided to turn to her fellow cashier and have a conversation. What was her conversation? Well, when we go to church tonight, at our church, we're going to be this, that, and other. I was like, you up here talking about you going to church and you're driving, you're doing all this bad behavior? But sometimes, saints, and all of us have been guilty of that. Well, we have been the meanest, the ugliest, downright evil people. Yeah. And then out the same mouths, we will say, oh, you're going to church tomorrow. So as we are looking at this 2011, we need to sometimes stop and ask ourselves the question, am I serving Christ or am I participating as an antichrist? Does my attitude, my words, and my deeds reflect that of Christ? Or do my words and my deeds and my actions reflect that of Satan? You see, saints, I hear many people saying they need a New Year's resolution. What's your New Year's resolution going to be? But saints, what I encourage you, saints, is to say, I don't need a New Year's resolution. What I need is a new life in Jesus Christ. You see, because that never ends at the end of the year. That doesn't end 2 weeks after January begins. Your new life in Christ is permanent. It's fixed, saints. It's ongoing into eternity. And when we have a true relationship, a true fellowship with Jesus Christ, it shows. It shows itself in obvious ways. It shows itself in powerful ways. It shows who we are in the midst of a dying world. It shows that we are not living for sin, that we are living for Jesus Christ, saints. And most of all, it shows who we love. Who we love. Jesus called John the Beloved. The Beloved. And this man loved Jesus so much. Every day he walked on this earth to the day he died, he spoke of Jesus Christ and nothing else. So our fellowship, our obedience, saints, the realization of we are living in the enemy territory and there are some antichrists among us shows us how deeply we need the Holy Spirit. How deeply we need the Holy Spirit every morning when we wake up, when we put our foot on the floor, if we're able to, we should be saying, Holy Spirit, fall upon me. Fall upon me. Because I know, saints, how I am. As soon as I get out of bed, I start getting busy. The wrong words come out of my mouth. I'm apologizing constantly because I'm falling all over my tongue. And I know I'm not the only one. We all are. We are all doing this. So if we begin our day in the Word and saying, I'm not just going to read this once a week or once a month, but I'm going to read it every day because I need the Holy Spirit power on me so that I can shine. I can shine in the midst of a dark world. So I ask you the same question that I began with today. Is my life in Christ, better than it was 10 years ago? Is my life in Christ better than it was 10 years ago? And if you can answer that yes, then you can answer that with so much hope to say this is a good year. Because if you brought me this far from back there 10 years ago, where are we going, Jesus Christ? And what are we going to do? But saints, if your answer to that question is no, my final question to you is, what are you as a Christian going to do about it today? What are you going to do to make it better? Let's pray. Gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you don't want us to be the same, that you are not concerned with our past, you are not concerned with our present, that you are mostly concerned with our future, not where we were 10 years ago, but where are we going to be 100 years from now? Where are we going to be with you, Lord Jesus? Where are we going to be when we take our last and final breath upon this earth? When we wake up into heaven and say, hear your words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Or will we hear your words, I don't know you. Gracious God, we pray, Lord, right now for those that don't know you. We are praying, Lord, that they realize that they are living in a dark and lonely world because we as Christians know that dark and lonely place. But there is light, there is hope in you, Lord Jesus. And they don't have to stay the same. So we thank you and we give you all the praise. It's in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen.